everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell with Midwifery Business Consultation. I have Stacy Vandeput here with me, amazing midwife in Wisconsin, that we got connected, I think it was last week. I was trying to network with great midwives all over the country, and her unique take and passion on the midwife side, I was like, we got to do an interview. We got to tell the world what you are working on the next few years. So, Stacy, if you want to tell everyone a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go into that unique perspective.
Sure. So I have been both a traditional midwife and a certified professional midwife and licensed, working and walking on the midwifery journey since about 1989. I entered the midwifery journey as a mom wanting a home birth at a time when it was very difficult to find help. It took me over 6 months to even find someone who would whisper the name of a midwife to me at that time. And I had to travel a couple of hours to get midwifery support. I knew in my heart of hearts that home birth was the right answer for my particular needs. And everywhere that I asked for assistance in finding help with a home birth, I was just told complete erroneous information. Things like, you know, do you want your baby to die, or do you want to go to jail, or do you want social services to take your child?
Something still hasn't changed.
You know, exactly. So, you know, this was 1988, 89, and when I finally found a midwife, you know, actually a doctor in the community who used to do home births, literally whispered her name and said, don't tell anyone that I told you this, but I think here's someone who could help you. And so that started, you know, I think because I found a midwife and successfully navigated a home birth in the face of all that, I got really excited about helping other people to access that. I didn't really think of myself as going down the road of becoming a midwife at the time. I thought just having, you know, a little resource center. So when somebody was looking for a midwife, they had a number they could call and I could, you know, show them the way. They didn't have to go for 6 months and a bunch of calls and, you know, they'd have a place. But one thing led to another, and a midwife ended up moving to my community, Alice Ganondorf, and she needed help. And, you know, so I met her, I started training and apprenticing under her, worked under her for a few years. Her practice was getting big enough that she felt like she couldn't take on more and more people, and she sort of started pushing me from the nest before I felt ready. So I went to Texas and took the internship that was offered at Maternidad La Luz. And when I returned from that internship in 1994, I opened my practice. So I worked as a traditional midwife from 94 through 2007, and Wisconsin got licensure in 2007. So I pursued the CPM and the license and have been a licensed midwife since then. In 2019, I also got licensure in the state of Michigan because that was the first year it was offered in Michigan, and I assist families in the UP. Actually quite a few there. To my knowledge, there are only two CPMs practicing in the UP of Michigan, myself and Sandy Pera.
So yeah, I love the background. You have such an amazing story. What is your current educational path you're adding to your repertoire, is the word, yeah, I'm trying to say, that has to do with midwifery? It's a unique aspect that I just thought so fascinating last week.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your fascination with it, and I'm fascinated too. So I'm fit for, and I had a few injuries and, you know, different health issues through the years, and part of my goal is that I'd be able to retire. And, you know, I've looked around and followed and seen that midwives don't always have the luxury of retirement. And so I don't want to have to be on call into my 70s. I want to work till I'm 70 or later if my health allows. But I don't think I want to be on call. I don't want to be in that capacity. And so one of the challenges in, transitioning my practice, our thoughts of, leaving the community without a midwife. There are other midwives that are in my community, but there's only one Stacy midwife, and, or should I say Stacy Vandenput midwife. And not that I'm special above others, but to the people I serve, our connection is special. So leaving a gap in that community is something I don't want to do. And yet I think a lot of midwives face that if we work in communities where we don't have other midwives or where we serve a special population in a special way, that, we just struggle. Can we leave our community? Can we transition our practice? Maybe we could sell it to another midwife. Maybe we could, bring in other midwives. And yet, what I'm struggling with is that my records and my information systems aren't in a place where I feel comfortable doing that. I think if someone walked into my practice as an employee or someone to purchase the practice, that not only would I, but they would probably be frustrated by sort of the novel way that I've designed my record keeping system. And I think every midwife has a novel way of doing it. And we've got a whole bunch of people out there with amazing records, not only our birth charts, but our business records and some of our historic records. We have all this, and it's sort of, not organized as well as it could be, and not as accessible as it could be. And so I discovered in this, there's a whole world of information management available that maybe we midwives haven't accessed. And I I know Amazon.
I was gonna say I hear it a little bit in the background. I was like, you probably got one of the, I'm picturing a warm water ambiance.
Succinctly. So I started sorry, my pal Daisy is here and she just came up to give me some attention. Anyway, I started school. let's just go. San Jose State University in the Masters of Archives and Information Management. And so essentially I plan to become an archivist and information and records manager. And what I'd like to do is take my practice and really turn my information and records and charts into a really, well-managed thing that opens the opportunity for all of those things I mentioned earlier, perhaps employees, so I don't have to be on call till I'm 70, perhaps selling the practice to an up-and-coming midwife so that they can have a start with an established practice, but, they don't have to start from absolute scratch. So those are, hopes that I have for organizing my records and then using that process and experience to build a model for other midwives to go and help other midwives to really bring their practice information and records into a tight configuration, something where they can access, something where they can share in the appropriate ways. Something where they can archive and keep their records for all of time. And like the number one thing that kind of inspired me on this is that I think of the midwifery record as something so much more than just a medical chart. My mentor, Alice Skenador, she taught me very early on that the chart, the record, is a sacred story of the lives of people, the life of the person giving birth, the life of the person being born. And that represents so much more than just, a set of data. Hospital records are very data-like, hospital records of birth. The other side of it is the storytelling for the sake of self-protection, both in the medical industry and midwifery. I know there's a great deal of teaching and training going on about the necessity to protect ourselves from legal issues by appropriate charting. There's that, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But I also think that we have to remember that it's a sacred story. And we have to tell it not just in a way that's, legalistic or data driven, but we have to tell the stories. And I think a lot of midwives do that. We tell the story of people being born. We tell the story of people's beginnings, and we tell it in a unique way that is important for the historical record. It's important for genealogy. It's important for, family histories and for society as a whole. We've got a unique story to tell. And what I'm envisioning is that when I get through with my program at San Jose State, I'll be a leader in records management, midwife records management, which is unique. There is health information management is a whole, career path. It's a whole industry. Records information management is a whole different industry. I'm looking to start an industry in midwifery information management and helping other midwives to really, get their materials in order. Something that I found through my first class at San Jose State is that, the way we keep our records influences how insurance billing is successful or not. And I've struggled. Insurance billing is hell for me. Even when I hired an insurance billing agent to do it for me, it was still too much work for me because my records don't support the system of big insurance. It's just they rely on a system of record keeping that, for a hospital system, it's efficient. They've got a ton of people. They've got, teams of people who do just that. We don't. So if we want to have a stake in insurance billing and being successful and efficient at it, we can do that easier if our records are in order. And there are just certain things that would help that.
As you're going on about these things, there's so many things in my mind going through of possibilities from what you're discussing. I mean, having how much money ABC, MANA, NARM, they spend to do research, to collect data, how much overwhelming time and hours are volunteered by midwives that if we had a more nationwide concrete database archive, I just see how much strength, like you said, with the insurance backing and the research to show the phenomenal power midwives have in the United States. I see so much possibilities. It's just most midwives that's not their niche. And I love that you are passionate about that and you're looking at the big picture versus just your practice. How can we serve women? And that's why I created these interviews. And that's why I created, because anytime a midwife tells me, I've got this thing nobody's ever done before, my ears perk right up, because that's the midwives I want to inspire. That's the connections I want us to have, because I think midwives just look traditionally, well, like you said, the retirement, maybe you get creative, you transition your midwifery soul into a different aspect of supporting women. So thinking, yeah, I love it all, Stacey.
Yeah, I'm really very 1,000 charts in boxes in my basement. And they're they're important charts. I feel as though, you know, the lifetime, you know, information here, it shouldn't be destroyed. I don't think any midwife really thinks those charts should be destroyed. And yet, what do we do with them? What happens when I die? Are my family members going to value that and keep it and do the right thing with it? Or are they going to destroy it? What if I don't have a plan? How many other midwives out there are sitting on thousands of charts, thousands of stories of people's lives, and they don't really know what to do with them? Don't know how to protect them from the elements, don't know how to, you know, digitize them, don't know what to do with them once they're digitized to keep them safe, don't know how long to retain them. You know, I just learned that medical records only need to be retained for like 7 years. And I just think that's a travesty in the big picture for the people whose stories are told in those records.
Yeah, and every state is a little different. Records. There are some longer than 7 years. So I always stress to people they need to double check their state. But yeah, it blows my mind. There's a couple states it's 18 to 21 years. Yeah, so.
In my opinion, this is sheer opinion, but a midwifery record represents two lives, the person who gave birth and the person who was born. And I feel like that record should be handled in a special way and maybe held for the life of both of those people. You know, maybe it needs to be a longer record than, you know, what general medical. And there's controversy and questions and legal dealings around that. Obviously, you know, self-protection is part of the reason for a destruction schedule in medical records. They, you know, a medical company may want to destroy those records as early as possible so that there's no, you know, liability backlash risk, legally down the road. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, obviously I have a lot to learn in those worlds. But the story aspect, I think, is really important. And so, and protecting those stories and the history. You know, eventually I would like to develop an archive, a midwifery archive. I know that it has been done with some forms of medical records that are redacted and put together in a conglomerate storage so that they can be accessed for the stories that are there. For the research that can be done. And I think that's possible. I'm not there yet with the details on how. That's why I'm going to school to become an expert. You know, I do think that some of these midwifery charts are going to tell stories of historic value. And if we have a way of them together into a national archive, I just think that it's going to be a fantastic resource into the future, and this is something that I want to build a team that's going to outlive me to be able to do that.
So, Stacy, I'm sure there's going to be lots of people that will have questions for you. What would be the best way for them to touch base with you and learn more about your venture? And maybe there's other midwives out there like, oh my gosh, I have the same passion and you guys can join forces, and that's our goal, is to connect these midwives, these wonderful midwives all over the country. So how could they get in touch?
Well, I started a new email account, which is just specific to this, so I can kind of keep that kind of stuff separate, you know, from my midwifery business.
Yeah, and so if it's hard to find, we can easily put it at the bottom of the video, Stacy. If you want to just, they've got your name, they can look it up if they want to call you. But yeah, I didn't know if there was any easy access information, sure, or just add the website, the email afterwards.
Well, the new email is midwife.information.management@gmail.com.
Okay. And are you planning on in time to make a website for it? Sorry.
Yes. You know, if you don't mind, I could share my screen and show you a graphic that I have made.
That would be perfect. Ooh, we get hot off the press. You should, yep. You can just hit the share screen at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. All right. So this is the Midwifery Information Management Journey. And so here's some of the thoughts. Where we are, there are over 2,454 independent midwives in the U.S. Each of those midwives could have anywhere from 1,000 to maybe 5,000 charts in their possession. And it's a treasure trove of history and data held within the midwifery records. Some of the challenges in records information management is in midwifery is that training is absent, and an actual specific plan for records information management are absent or informal. We may spend 7 to 10 years in clinical training and our business training might be absent or incidental. If we're in independent practice without a strong structural basis around our businesses, our clinical priorities and administrative functions create a divided attention. We have threats, environmental degradation, midwives aging out of practice, and midwife deaths could truly threaten these records of historic value. You know, like I talked earlier, if I die, you know, what are my relatives going to do with those boxes and file cabinets? I think, you know, they would be kind of at a loss for what to do with it, as with many other families. I spoke with a midwife recently who had retired some 15 years ago, and she had been saving her boxes, and they moved, and one of the family members accidentally threw away a whole box of charts when they moved. And so stuff like that happens. You know, natural disasters, you know, things could threaten our charts.
Okay.
Infrastructure is kind of absent. A lot of us are solo practice, and, you know, we haven't got the same infrastructure as a large medical setting would have. And some of our women-owned businesses are operating by a different business model than, you know, that super efficient male, you know, patriarchal business model. There's actually something called feminine business models that don't operate like a cutthroat male patriarch business. And I think a lot of midwives sort of fall into those practices, and there's very good things about the feminine business models, but they may not be as efficient. And so some of the things that we've lost in efficiency, we've gained in other areas, but our records may suffer. Some of the things that really matter to midwives are quality, expertise, confidentiality. And I would like to be an industry leader for information management in the growing field of independent midwifery, to be trusted by midwives for stewardship, innovation, engagement, collaboration, and education, to be known by midwives for professionalism, leadership, and an insider's understanding. You know, we could go hire a health information manager from a hospital system to just do this for us, but they're not going to have the insider understanding of midwifery.
Yeah. And I think that's what you and I have very similar, because with doing the business side, like hiring a general business consultant versus one that's a midwife, understands, personally runs a business, like it makes a huge difference. The passion, the empathy, I really want to see everybody succeed. It's not like, oh, this is the next person on the list that hired me. Like, yeah. So that's where I was like, you and I are very similar in thought process.
Yeah, that's awesome. I so agree. So some of the goals, improved compliance, streamlined access to all paper and digital assets. You and I talked last week, and a lot of times we don't think of our records as assets, but truly they are. Every business, the records are a huge asset, and we can leverage those assets in good ways. Mm-hmm. Quality assurance, we're looking to improve quality assurance for midwives in record keeping management, coming to, there's actually, you know, I just learned about this in school, but there's a whole bunch of, I guess, articles and systems called records management best practices. You know, nobody ever taught me that. I kind of just was winging it all these years. You know, I'm trying to put together a good system.
Yeah, I would love to even see, as you finish school, Stacy, some courses, some trainings. Like, I could see so many possibilities. Like, you were talking about the best practice. There's just so much that midwives just don't know.
Exactly. And I see that, too. I think the steps for me are to get my own house in order and build the plan, and then to help teach and actually physically go to midwife practices and help them to reorganize. And then as those, as that becomes organized, publish, lecture, train, implement a nationwide service, and then pursue the vision for a national midwifery archive. So it's in stages.
It is. And I'm just fortunate I get to catch you in the beginning. I'm just very fortunate that we're going to watch the next few years, how you grow and how you expand this wonderful vision. It is so needed. And your heart is like, I love it. I absolutely love it. It just makes me so excited to have midwives with this unique business thought process, unique passion, and how do I fill a need with my unique passion? And that's part of the drive and the inspiration of what these videos are about. If you're a midwife and you're like, okay, I want to get older and not be on call, but I still want to serve women, how can I do it with my unique skill set? And you found that. And I'm excited the next few years to see all the things you create.
Thank you. I'm really excited too. And, you know, the teachers and professors at San Jose State have been awesome. The first class that I took, at the end of it, I went to my professor. I said, hey, I really took this class as a feeler to just see if I'm on the right path. What do you think? And she asked a question. She said, Stacy, she said, you came into this class without any, you know, background in this program. What you didn't know, Stacy, is that this is the upper level class in the MARA program. MARA is Masters of Archives and Records. Whatever the A is. I'm forgetting at the moment. Yeah, so she said, you came into this without having the background of the MARA education, and you're taking this, like, this is a capstone class. You didn't realize it because you're not, like, I wasn't enrolled in the program. I was taking it as a, like, just a single class, right? Yeah. So I didn't realize I was taking the capstone. It was supposed to be at the end of the class. She said, you came in with a plan, with a, you know, a vision, and you kept up with the whole class. You aced the class. You know, I have students who come to this program, and when they start, they say, I asked them, what do you want to do with a degree in records and in archival management? And they say, I want to work for Disney. That'd be fun. She said, you've got something here. She said, you go do this. She said, take the master's, go for the PhD, and keep this going. You've got a vision that can be made. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really, you know, that really excited me to know that I was on the right path, and that I'm not just, you know, silly for thinking of these things, but you know.
No, you're filling a desperate need. You're going to take our quality of stories to the next level. And yes, I think it's just amazing that you're a driven woman. So many midwives are driven. We're so passionate, and just to take it to that next level of thinking outside the box. I think that's the biggest thing. This isn't a traditional midwifery role or thought process, or it just, you thought, this is what I love. This is what makes me happy. And how can I use it to complement the needs and the community and the country? And yeah, I think it's amazing.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to talk about, Stacy, before we go for the day? My goal would be maybe a year from now, because it sounds like you're in the early stages of the course, or if you want to, if there's something fun coming out, you can connect with me sooner. But I would love to do in a year from now another video on how your progress is doing, and if there's any excitement going on, just it would be amazing.
That would be awesome. A group of students from San Jose State did a environmental scan, and it's called a SWOT analysis of my practice. Basically, you know, we looked at what are the strengths, the weaknesses, the opportunities, and the threats to midwifery records at my practice. And we developed a strategic plan, and we developed an operational plan for the coming year. So there is an unpublished paper that came about that basically kind of used my practice as a model. There's more research necessary in order to really, you know, make this broadly applicable to other midwifery practices. But that strategic plan is really, you know, put focus on what's going to happen in the next year to 3 years. So I would love to touch base in a year and tell you, you know, what progress is being made towards those things.
Yeah, and as soon as your article gets published, please let me know, and I will shout it at the rooftops on our blog and our information. So.
Oh, awesome. It needs to have some work before it's publishing ready, but we definitely have the goal of publishing it as that work gets, you know, kind of ironed out in the paper. Yes.
Yeah. And when you were talking about the SWOT analysis, all that's going through my head is a business plan marketing SWOT analysis. So yes, it's used in many applications.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. And you know, it was really good, you know, it was hard because I had people kind of examining things with a fine-tooth comb, and you know, that's difficult.
It makes you vulnerable. It makes you more transparent to recognize your strengths and weaknesses. Yeah, it takes a lot to go to a class and being a student and let your students learn, let colleagues learn from your vulnerable position. So that's amazing.
Yeah, but it was good. I mean, I feel light years ahead. In my understanding of things just for my own practice that came about because of that. So it was very good.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Stacy. And I look forward to hearing all the wonderful updates on your progress. And I know 5 years from now, we'll be watching this first video and where you are and where you started out. It'll be a fun historical timeline to reference.
That's so cool, Leslie. Thank you so much for what you're doing as well.
Okay. Have a great day.
You too.